Welcome to the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best doubles strategies to improve your game and win more matches. I'm your host, Will Bocek. This podcast, my website, and my weekly newsletter all focus on the goal of better understanding the sport of doubles and helping players like you improve faster through actionable advice that you can use in your very next match. My goal is to provide the best doubles strategy resources in the world. And to do that, I study, analyze, and work with players at every level of the game, all the way up to the ATP and WTA tours. If you enjoy this podcast, I've created double strategy products that go even deeper if you want to take your doubles knowledge to the next level. At the end of this episode, I'll explain more about them, or if you want to learn more now, go to thetennistribe.com/products. Here's today's episode. You're about to hear my conversation with Danielle Collins from the 2023 Charleston Open. I sat down with her between her first and second round doubles matches where she partnered up with Desiree Krafcik to go on and win the doubles title there a few days later. Danielle was a singles finalist at the 2022 Australian Open. She also made the doubles semifinals at Wimbledon in 2022 with Desiree. And she also reached a career-high singles ranking of number 7 in the world in 2022. And this episode is a little bit different. It is the first time we've had a, quote, singles player on the show to discuss doubles. And this year, Danielle is playing more doubles alongside her singles schedule. And we discuss why she's doing that, why she loves doubles, and how it helps her singles game. You're starting to see, especially on the WTA Tour, more and more singles players play both singles and doubles. We've seen Jessica Pegula do that a lot, Coco Gauff, just to name a few, and now Danielle Collins is doing that more this year so far. So I'm excited to see how her doubles game continues to develop over the next couple of months and years. And we also talk about when she was a kid, she played in an 80 and over doubles league. So that's pretty funny to listen to. She also shares her experience playing at the Australian Open in the singles final, compares that to her run in doubles at Wimbledon. And then we discuss her college days at Florida before she transferred to Virginia. She has some advice for junior players. And she won two NCAA singles titles at Virginia as well. And then at the end, we talk about her favorite tournaments. She has a book recommendation that I just downloaded on Audible and am planning on listening to soon. And then, of course, how to make doubles more popular. So she shares a really good perspective, having been a Grand Slam singles finalist, one of the top singles players in the world over the last 5 or so years. This is a really fun conversation, and I think you'll get a lot out of this. And if you weren't a Danielle Collins fan before, I think you will be after, because she has a great personality, very charismatic, and a great perspective on kind of tennis and life in general. So without further delay, enjoy this wide-ranging and fun conversation with Danielle Collins. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Today we have Danielle Collins on with us. She is number 40 in the world in singles right now, the 2022 Australian Open finalist, 2022 Wimbledon doubles finalist. And do you know your doubles ranking right now?
Oh, no, I'm sure it's not. I'm sure it's not very high. What is it?
It's 411.
Yeah, not my best achievement, but
yeah. I would imagine you're a better doubles player than 411 in the world, and that'll be going up soon. But that's where we are right now.
Yeah, I guess last year too, Des and I made semifinals at Wimbledon, so we didn't get the points from that.
Oh yeah, that's
right. I think that was where most of my points were with my doubles. So yeah,
that's right.
It's all right. Maybe this year will be different.
So we're here in Charleston. Y'all are in the quarterfinals tonight. How has Charleston been so far?
Yeah, Charleston's been great. Charleston's one of my favorite places to visit. When I was in college, I used to come down here on the weekends with my girlfriends and have a great time and wonderful memories here off the court, but also playing here as well. I made quarterfinals here a couple years ago and I've always loved coming here and competing. They had an event during COVID. It was really special. I think it was only maybe 10 or 12 players, and it was a team event, and it was super fun and really nice that they put that on during COVID. So we had a great time during that week here. And yeah, it's just a place that I really love to be. I feel like the tournament organizers are so friendly. They're so caring. Yeah. And like we were talking about earlier, they really just tick all of the boxes with hospitality and making sure that we have everything that we need. And I mean, everything from when you walk in the gates and when someone scans your badge and saying, hello, how are you? And being really kind and friendly to, you know, going in and talking with the tournament director and just catching up and seeing familiar faces. I feel like everyone here is so friendly and nice and really loves tennis and appreciates us as athletes. And that's always a good feeling to have when you come to an event and you feel like you're being looked after and cared for. So yeah, I feel like many of the players on tour talk about how Charleston is one of their favorite events of the year. And I think for spectators too, it has to be one of the fan favorites, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've only been here a few months or a few days, and I'm very impressed so far.
Yeah.
It's really, really nice.
Yeah.
So I wanted to dive in a little bit. Yesterday I spoke with you and Des, and I asked what your plans are for doubles. And you talked about, it seemed like a lot of the reason that you're playing doubles is simply because it's more fun. You like to hang out with your friends. It's good. Seems like it's better, like, for maybe mental health than singles.
Yeah.
I don't know. So I wanted to talk more about that. And I had an idea to use an example, but if you want to talk about it a different way, let me know.
Okay.
So last year you made the finals in Australia in singles, and you made the semifinals in Wimbledon at doubles. So how did those 2 weeks for you kind of contrast and kind of compare those 2 weeks a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, obviously both of those 2 weeks are two of, you know, my proudest moments in my career and some of the most success that I've had in my career. But I think, you know, singles is so different from doubles being an individual sport and having to really problem solve and be out there on your own. I really like the teamwork and the camaraderie that you get in the doubles. And I think it's really important, like, not just in tennis, but like in our lives, to be able to have that.
Yeah.
So many weeks of our lives, especially as like singles players, as we go out, we might have some people around us encouraging and supporting us. But when we go on the court, you know, you're out there and you're problem solving for a couple of hours by yourself. And sometimes when you're, you know, facing the ups and downs, and I've faced a lot of those in my careers, in my career, you know, it can be a little bit difficult, and it can, you can find yourself feeling down, you know, when you're going through those down moments and when you're in a little bit of a slump. And I feel like, the doubles has really helped me as a person to have, something to always look forward to. It's not that I don't look forward to playing singles. I do. I have a lot of motivation. There's things that I want to accomplish. There's things that I'm constantly working on my game. And I think the singles is really rewarding, but I think the doubles offers like this, I've said camaraderie a lot, but
that's a good word.
Being able to like share that and like share the tough moments and the winning moments with someone, I think it just feels so much better.
Yeah. Like it seems
in some ways. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I was obviously pumped getting to the finals of the Australian Open, but it was so different, getting to the semifinals with Des, someone that I'm friends with, someone that I really care about, someone that really cares about me, and being able to share that together. And so for me, like I said yesterday, I feel like some of my most proud moments have been on the doubles court. Not to say that I'm not proud of my singles. It's just those, I look back on those moments and I find that they're more fun being able to share them with other people. So, and I've been really lucky. I mean, I feel like since I've turned pro, I've developed like really close bonds and friendships with so many of the girls on tour. And I get, you know, the chance to be able to play with those girls, you know, week in and week out. Sometimes that's hard for me to manage just with injuries. And, you know, I think I've played a tournament like almost every single week this year. And I haven't spent more than like 5 days at home. So, you know, sometimes for me playing as much singles as I do, it's hard for me to play doubles every week, even though I want to. But I'm realizing that I'm having a lot of fun on the doubles court, and it's what I enjoy most. So I want to figure out ways that I can play more doubles and that I can be out there more often. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Are you taking, like, so if we go back to Australia last year and then we look at Wimbledon, let's say like before the semifinal match of each one, are you like thinking about your day-to-day stuff a lot differently? Like, are you like eating healthier and focusing on your sleep more and all that stuff with singles, since it's so much more physically demanding, obviously, and there's a lot more money on the line and, you know, all that stuff? Or do you feel like there's not that big of a difference there for you?
Well, actually, it's funny because in the beginning of my career, I felt like in some ways doubles sometimes stressed me out more because I had a partner and I didn't want to let my partner down. Sometimes with my game, you know, I can have days that I'm really on and sometimes I have days where I'm off. And on those off days, I would always feel really guilty or really bad, like when I couldn't perform at my highest level and feeling like I let my partner down. And so I would internalize that a lot. And I had to work on that a lot because I realized a lot of my friends that I was playing with, they were happy to be out on court. They were happy that I tried my best. They weren't upset with me. Yeah. I didn't need to feel bad that they have gone through the same challenges that I have faced and feeling that way.
Right.
And so, you know, I didn't need to feel that way, but for some reason I did. And so I worked on that a lot. And so now I, you know, feel more relaxed in the doubles. I don't look at it like that as much because I've just kind of changed my mindset a little bit, but I wouldn't say that.
How did you make that change?
I think just becoming more comfortable, and the more doubles I play and over time, I just realized like no one's upset with me maturity, just realizing that I'm not really letting anyone down as long as I give my best effort and try my hardest. And so I don't need to feel like that pressure because no one's putting that pressure on me. I'm putting it on myself.
Right.
So realizing that, made a big difference. And, you know, like I said, everybody that I play doubles with, I'm really good friends with. And so when I've had those moments of feeling down, they're always there to lift me up and to talk with me through it. And so that was the biggest help for me. But no, I wouldn't say that I take like the singles more seriously than the doubles, that I would eat healthier on my singles day, you know, and I don't really think about the money as much. Cause I think a lot of us, like, we've been doing this for so long and we're so passionate. Like, even if I wasn't making the money that I am playing tennis, I would still be doing this because I love tennis and I love all of the work and being able to travel. And I love the community that I get to be a part of more than anything, like in the tennis. I mean, I have known so many of the women on tour, like since we were 10 years old. I was pen pals with Madison Keys. I mean, that is just like so cool. Like in some ways, a lot of these people on tour have become, you know, like family for me. So like the sense of community that I get in tennis is just like, it's amazing. So I, I don't really think about it that way. Like, I feel like the doubles for me when I play is just as important because I always want to win. I always want to try to like win a trophy and do my best. So I feel like I go into the matches the same way. And especially tactically, I always am asking my doubles partners, okay, what do you think about this player? I know you played her the week before or a couple months ago. And like, what do you think she likes to do in high pressured situations? Where do you think she likes to hit her returns? Where do you think she tends to serve, you know, at this point in the matches. So we talk a lot tactically before we go on the court and really have a game plan when we go out there. And I feel like that's very similar to my singles. I do the same thing. So I go about it the same way, but then just being able to do the teamwork together makes it so much more fun. I mean, I remember when we were playing semifinals at Wimbledon, we were sitting in the hallway, Des and I, and we were eating and we were waiting for a couple of matches. Like, I think we were like fourth on that day. And, you know, we were just talking and laughing and Venus was hanging out with us. And we were just like, you know, really like in good spirits that day, like keeping it really lighthearted. Sometimes in the singles, you know, I don't have my teammate there, so it's just me. I mean, when I made finals of Australian Open, Des was there and she was there pretty much for like every match after, you know, we were after we finished at the Australian Open in the doubles. So I still got to have Dez there, but it's just a different feeling being out there and problem solving on your own versus having one of your closest friends and teammates out there. So, you know, I just, I really cherish like the memories that I get to have with my partners and my friends. It just, it means the world to me. And I think, you know, like I said, from a mental health perspective, I think it's such a healthy thing to go out and have someone to share that teamwork, to share the stress with, to share the good times with.
Yeah.
You know, the individual aspect of our sport can be really challenging and really lonely. And, you know, not a lot of people talk about that, but it's a reality that all of us face and we all have gone through that. So I think the more we can kind of lean on each other, the better all of us will be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I said yesterday that I loved that answer, and I still even more so, I love that answer. And, it just seems like very mature, a very mature like approach and take to it. So
I wish too, like growing up playing juniors, usually we had, you know, the doubles in the events, but I felt like the emphasis was so much more on the singles. And I really wish in junior tennis, there was more of an emphasis on the doubles, because I feel like for the development of the kids and their brains and their confidence and learning how to work with other people, I feel like doubles is huge. Cause let's face it. I mean, most people are probably, you know, not going to play professional tennis. It's just the reality. People take different paths in life, and but I think the experience and the memories that you get to create, I think they would be so much better when you get to share them, working with other people. And I wish in some ways too, like the junior tennis had more team experiences for the kids where they're playing on a team together. Cause a lot of the kids now have more and more kids are thinking, okay, I want to go to college. I want to play college tennis, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But college tennis is about being on a team and working together. And so if you don't get to kind of emulate that before you go to college, how do you really know how to do that once you're in it? So, I really wish like in some ways tennis was more of a team sport. And I think the tours have tried to implement that with like United Cup, Billie Jean King Cup, Davis Cup. But if we could have more of those team events, I think everybody would enjoy that, because so many of the women on tour and the men that I know as well, they all talk about that and they love the camaraderie. They're great team players. They're people that want to have those shared experiences. So
it seems like it does really well on TV and the fans love it too. So I don't know. Yeah. It seems like a win-win.
Yeah,
like
the music on the changeovers and it's just a different energy.
Yeah. So how do you feel like doubles, you've played a little bit more recently in some of these tournaments. How do you feel like doubles has helped your singles game, especially in like Grand Slams where you're playing both? How do you kind of manage that? And how do you feel like it helps?
Yeah, I mean, I think when I first started playing tennis as a kid, I used to play in this adult doubles league. And interestingly enough, the age bracket was like 80 and over, and I was 8 and I was playing doubles with a group of 80 and over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I used to go out there and I'd say, you know, well, does anyone want to play singles?
Could they like keep up with you? Like even at 8, I would think you'd be able to like run around the court a lot faster than.
Yeah. You know, they were actually pretty good, but, and they taught me a lot, but I used to go out there and I would say, oh, you know, are we going to play singles today or what? And they would tell me, you know, the doubles is going to make your singles game better.
Yeah.
And to this day, like, I really feel that way. I feel that the doubles helps you develop skills that you might not get to work on if you're not playing doubles.
Yeah.
And for me, I've noticed a lot of improvement with my volleys, like transitioning into the net, playing with more variety, being able to return to specific places on the court more effectively. So those are the things that I've noticed the most. But I also think from a self-confidence perspective, because sometimes I think when we're playing by ourselves in singles, sometimes when we're down or the match isn't going our way, it can feel 10 times worse than what it really is.
Yeah.
And when you're in the doubles, you have someone to keep that in perspective and to be able to like really highlight
and pump you up
like when things are going well, but also to be there for you and to help you work through things when you might not be having your best return day or not feeling your serve and and having a low first serve percentage. So you're able to have someone kind of coach and critique you a little bit while you're playing and help you make those adjustments. And I feel like I carry that over into my singles a lot because sometimes Des brings something to my attention and I am like, wow, like things, you know, it's not as bad as it seems. Like I'm actually returning pretty well. And like, I just need like, you know, a few points here and a few points there. And it's a totally different match. And I remind myself when I go out in the singles of that. So no, I think from the mental side, the doubles helps a lot. I think there's things you learn from your opponent, from your partner that they, that they bring to your attention that you might not realize if you don't have them out there. So, yeah.
So you mentioned your transition game. And I've got a question about that. So I was watching you play in Austin and I think you were playing, Magdalena Frick and y'all went to a third set and I took a picture and tweeted this out. Like I said, if Danielle ever starts to come forward after her 300 mile an hour backhands that land within 3 inches of the sideline, the WTA Tour is in trouble. So is your transition game something that you're still developing and want to keep working on? Do you think doubles will help that? Or is there something that I'm just totally missing? And I was, because it looked like in a lot of those points, like you'd hit this backhand and she'd be full stretch, stabbing something and it would float real slow over the net. Is that something like you've worked on with your coaches or?
Yeah, that's something I've definitely been working on. And I think you're right. I mean, I think I do need to get into the net more and be more confident. I think naturally being a powerful baseliner and not really having worked on that as a junior and as much as I probably should have growing up.
And you won the match, by the way. So you didn't really have to get to the net.
But it would probably be more efficient if I could follow some of those shots in and just, you know, make it a little easier on myself. But I have been working on that a bit and trying to be more mindful when I push people back in the court to follow the ball into the net and to not be afraid because I actually, when I come to the net, I know that I work with a statistician and I know that a lot of the times I'm winning most of those points at the net when I do come in because my ground strokes are so powerful. Yeah. So I'm trying to work on it, but sometimes it's like hard to teach an old dog new tricks a little bit. And
I'm the same way.
So I'm really mindful of it and thinking about it a lot. And I think that's where with the doubles, sometimes, you know, you get an easy return, you hit it hard, you follow it into the net. And that might not be something that I naturally do in the singles, but I'm thinking that way in the doubles. And I think that does transfer over into my singles and hopefully I'll start doing more of that. And I noticed like when I was playing Australian Open with Des and we played, I think 3 doubles matches. I felt like I was volleying really well when I was coming into the net that tournament and anticipating really well when I was at the net where my opponent would be trying to pass me. So it's just a commitment thing, I think, being willing to get up there and challenge myself a little bit because I think naturally my comfort zone's kind of on the baseline and just trying to get out of that comfort zone and challenge myself a little bit more.
Okay, awesome. Well, the WTA Tour is in trouble, it sounds like. So I'm going to skip a couple of these because I know you got to run in a couple of minutes. So you played at Virginia. You're one of the top players on tour who did play college tennis. What advice would you give yourself at, we'll say, at like 17, 18 when you were going into college?
Yeah.
And then also at like 22 after college when you turned pro?
You know, I think it's a hard question. I mean, because it's kind of like, I don't know if I would
have through all that stuff to like get to where you are now.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I went to Florida my freshman year, and I went into a team that already won national championship, and so they were so strong, mm-hmm. and incredible competitors and athletes. And I didn't really play in the lineup most of the year. I had a little bit of success, like in the individual tournaments, and had a fine fall season. But during the team season, it made sense at the time why I actually wasn't playing in the lineup, because there were girls on the team that had won mm-hmm. national championship. And so I think that's where seniority comes into play. And so I understand it, mm-hmm. And was able to accept that. Ideally, of course, because I chose to play college tennis, I wanted to have a proactive role in the lineup. And so that was a little bit challenging for me to accept at the time. But I think it was a really good learning experience, because I was physically and mentally maturing. And I think there was still like a lot for me to learn. And so like I said, they were a national championship winning team. They were incredible competitors and athletes. And there's a lot that I learned from them in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud of myself, like how I handled that situation, because, you know, I realized while, you know, I needed to make a switch and for me personally to be able to go to a team where I could play in the lineup was really important, mm-hmm. obviously. And, but I felt like I learned a lot from those teammates, their work ethic, their competitive spirit on court, being able to play under pressure and being able to see like what it took to be a national championship. And I really carried that over into my experience at UVA.
Sure.
While that situation hurt and I, you know, really wanted it to try to work out, it wasn't the right fit for me. And I felt like once I went to Virginia, I had, you know, two really solid coaches that were helping me develop technically and tactically and mentally and emotionally to become, you know, a more mature player and a little bit more selective about how I go after my shots. And I really feel like I developed so much during those 3 years at Virginia. So I don't really know if I would change anything, to be honest, because I feel like I had such a great learning experience from both of those situations. You know, there's definitely ups and downs in college tennis, just like you have on the tour. Mm-hmm. There's times where you're really succeeding and there's times where you hit little bumps in the roads, but you, when you're on a team, you learn how to try to manage that and lean on your teammates for support. And I think that's the biggest thing is, for kids looking to play college tennis is really trying to go to a program where they have coaches that believe in them, that support them on and off the court, because I think a lot of kids go to college and it might, you know, the coach might say, hey, this is tennis university and we are all tennis here.
Yeah.
And that might not be encouraging to them to pursue other things outside of tennis. And I'm a really big believer that, you know, going to college isn't just about playing tennis. It's about evolving as a person. It's about creating friendships away from tennis. It's about creating other hobbies, interests, mm-hmm. things that excite you and learning about things that you may have never learned about. And I got to have that full experience at UVA. So I think being really aware of, you know, and getting to know the people on your team and, you know, making sure that they have similar values and goals that are in alignment and with what you want personally is important, because I think that's where sometimes kids go wrong. They end up picking the wrong school because they had different expectations that were different from the team or the coaches there. And so then it ends up not being the most ideal situation for that person.
Yeah.
So I think, just trying to figure out right away, like in those recruiting trips, you know, what are the goals of the team? What are their expectations for them as tennis players, but also for them personally and their evolvement and development as human beings? I think it's really important.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems like really good advice for anyone around that age.
Yeah.
And like difficult to kind of figure out at that age. So I feel like it's something they don't really teach in school.
So it's something and it's a tough decision too to make. Like there's so many great schools out there, so many good coaches, so many great teams. And But at the end of the day, you know, and there, and all of these schools can be so spread out too. So you mm-hmm. might be looking at a school on the East Coast, a school on the West Coast, and then somewhere in the middle of the country and
right.
trying to figure out too, logistically, like where you want to be in relation to your family or, you know, what's going to make sense for your, you know, if you're leaning more towards like the academic route, what's going to make most sense for, you know, the major that you're going to choose. So I think all of those things are important. And I think the biggest thing too is I was really lucky to have a lot of people involved in my life that had gone through the experience of playing college tennis and had some they were familiar with the academic requirements and the demands of like athletics in it when you're a Division I athlete. And they kind of, you know, prepared me for that. I think it's really important to be able to have adults to be able to talk to and bounce ideas off of. I think mentorship is huge.
Yeah.
I think a lot of kids don't have a mentor and it's easy to kind of get behind when you don't have someone that you can bounce ideas off of and go to for advice and encouragement. I think those are the most important things though. Like,
yeah, for sure. So I know you got to run. Do you have time for a few rapid fire questions real quick?
Yeah.
Who is your dream doubles partner, mixed or women's?
Dream doubles
or partner. Both? Somebody you haven't played with.
I would have two. I think for my dream doubles partner, I mean, look, like I'm having a lot of success with the people that I'm playing with. I love playing with them and we'll continue playing with them. But, and like I said, I love playing with my friends. So I would love to play with Ons in the future.
Okay.
I'm sure that'll be my crystal ball. I'm predicting Ons and I will play doubles with each other at some point. And Shui Zhang, amazing, amazing person and friend of mine. Love her to death. We're playing her. We're playing her tonight, actually. So I've played her a couple of times in doubles. Des and I lost to her in semifinals.
She's a good doubles player.
So I would love to get on the court with her at some point as well. She's so fun to be around and such a fierce competitor out there. I mean, I just love how she plays and goes about her business. So I think both of those people are
awesome. Good answers.
Yeah.
What's your favorite tennis book? Or non-tennis book.
My favorite tennis book. Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. I mean, I've read so many great books. I loved Andre Agassi's book. Read that as a kid and thought it was great. But, you know, I find the most relatable book that I've read isn't actually about tennis. It's about golf. And it's this book called Golf is Not a Game of Perfect. And I really feel that it relates to tennis so much. And I encourage like any person at any level
to read this book. That.
I think it's really good psychology about how in order to win, it doesn't have to be pretty.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to be accepting of, you know, when we don't hit our best shots and it has some really good advice in there. So yeah.
Good answer. So two more, what's your favorite tournament?
Oh, this is like the hardest question ever because I mean, there's so many amazing tournaments throughout the year.
Maybe pick like a top three-ish.
I mean, I love the Australian Open. I've had my most success there. I've had some of my most positive memories in Australia. Craig Tiley, he's an incredible tournament director. I couldn't speak more highly of him. They tick all the boxes for us there. The facilities are wonderful.
Yeah.
It's my favorite 2 weeks, I think, out of the year. But all of the Grand Slams have something really unique and different that separates them from the other Grand Slams. So those events are amazing and beautiful and incredible experience as well. Wimbledon, I mean, there's nothing like being on the grounds at Wimbledon and walking and the beautiful gardens and the history of the game. I mean, it's just, you almost feel like you're going back in time in some ways when you walk on the grounds there at Wimbledon. That's a really beautiful experience. And I think something that every kid dreams of if they have aspirations of being a professional tennis player. So that was really special. And I remember, you know, just, I played the qualifying of Wimbledon, I think in 2007, it was another two, yeah, 2017. Mm-hmm. And I lost, and the coach I was working with at the time said, you know, let's go to the main grounds. They'll do a tour for us because mm-hmm. they don't give you full access to the site unless you're in main draw. You play at Roehampton, right?
Right.
So we went over to the main site, and as we were walking, I had tears in my eyes. It was surreal being on the grounds, but I was also thinking, damn it. I want to be on the main grounds, and I want to be playing main draw, and I will not come back to Wimbledon unless I am in the main draw.
Yeah.
And I made sure that I had my ranking to where it needed to be to be able to play in the main grounds there. And it was surreal playing there for the first time. It's so special. The French Open too, so much history. I love the clay. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. The US Open is amazing as an American too, playing the night matches on Arthur Ashe and, you know, having so many fans behind you and supporting you and being an American there, I think is just incredible. Those night matches, there's nothing like it. Mm-hmm. So I love US Open. A lot of smaller tournaments as well. I felt like Austin, the tournament in Austin this year has kind of become like my home tournament. That's where I feel most at home is in Austin. I have a bunch of friends there and have developed so many great friendships in Austin and just feel, like I really had the home crowd support there. So I love that tournament and will continue to go back there in the future. Miami is my home state too. So having had one of my first big runs on the tour. I made semifinals there, I think in 2018 and beating, my childhood idol Venus in the quarterfinals was cool. So all of these places share such a, special place in my heart. So it's tough to say like if there was one that's my favorite, I think that's too hard.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all so special.
Like if you have kids, you can't pick a favorite.
Yeah, exactly. I can't pick a favorite.
So the last question, how can we make doubles more popular? Why is, if I go around the grounds here and I kind of want to do this, like, and say, who is Danielle Collins? Just as somebody random out there, they'll know who you are. But if I say, who is Desiree Kravchuk? They may not know who she is. And like, I feel like, you answered the question. How can we make doubles more popular? Why isn't it as popular as it, I feel like it should be?
I think doubles is not as popular as it should be because of the marketing behind it. And I don't think we always market doubles the same way that we market singles. And a lot of times the doubles matches are not the headliners. And I also have just kind of found I think a lot of the top singles players, there's a lot of understandably so, there's a lot of media demands and requests, and I think sometimes that can be really overwhelming for some of those top singles players. And I think one of the ways we could make everybody feel more comfortable is if maybe sometimes in those situations, like the doubles players could be able to step in and do some of the media, do some of the kids' days, be able to participate in those media requests more.
Yeah.
Because I do think a lot of the general public and members of the media want to know more about the doubles players, but I think our marketing in tennis has tended to gravitate towards the singles.
Yeah.
And I think we need to get to know our doubles players more. I also wish in so many ways that we had more creatives that would like to do documentaries about the realities of the tour, the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows, the financial struggles, the inequalities, and be able to share that. Because I feel like a lot of times, our fans, they get to come and watch us. They get to see what we choose to put out on social media, but they don't get to really see the nitty gritty day to day life pressures, challenges that a lot of us go through. And I think it's even more so for the doubles players from a financial side. Unfortunately, there's not as much prize money in the doubles.
Right.
And, I've played many, many challenging singles matches, but sometimes I feel that the doubles is just as challenging physically as the singles. And so that's part of the reason why sometimes I feel like I'm not always able to play doubles every tournament. but I do believe that we have just as much talent and entertainment in the doubles as we do in the singles. Mm-hmm. And I want to see my friends on the tour and the doubles. I want to see them be able to be compensated like we do in some ways in the singles.
So do I.
And I want to see that grow. And I want to, like, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, you know, most people in country clubs, parks play doubles.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So,
And I
find that the doubles is really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Hopefully at some point we can figure out some different ways to market doubles differently so that we can really highlight the talent and the success and who these players really are. But that's just my take on it.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah.
Danielle, thanks so much for doing this. This was a lot of fun. Hopefully we can do a round two at some point later on down the road.
Yeah,
for sure. Good luck in your match this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Doubles Only podcast. If you're interested in diving deeper into any topics I discuss, I've created double strategy products that allow me to bring you more podcasts and other doubles content without relying on paid ads. I have ebooks and courses that help you make better strategic decisions during matches and become the smartest player on the court. Go to thetennistribe.com/products to learn more. You can also join my free weekly double strategy newsletter that includes video lessons and more on our homepage. If you want to connect, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or email me directly, will@thetennistribe.com.